transmission from Pyongyang, the capital of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Dear listeners, you welcome to Voice of Korea. Now here is what you can hear in this transmission. First, the news. The news is followed by the 13th of Section 2, the last image of Chapter 6, the Year of Trials, from the reminiscences of the great of the person Kim Il-sung in the century. And then, meanwhile, under the title,
recalling the days when the party was founded.
In the 24th installment of our reported account of his visit to the International Friendship Exhibition. And then we present an account,
Great Leader, the Nuclear Summit.
Finally, we present an account, South Korea-US Nuclear Defense Pact should be abrogated immediately. And we'll engage some songs between the programs.
Now, here is the news. A meeting and Korean book exhibition recently took place in Venezuela, a lecture in Ethiopia, and film shows in Russia and Ukraine on the occasion of the 60th anniversary of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Displayed at the exhibition were famous works of the great leaders Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il and Korean books. Present at the functions were political and public figures, members of Juche study organizations, and organizations for friendship and solidarity and other people in those countries. Projected at the film shows were documentaries dealing with the Korean people's reverence for the great man and looks of Korea changing more beautifully with each passing day. A message of greetings to leader Kim Jong-il was adopted at the meeting held in Venezuela.
Foreign newspapers recently featured the 60th anniversary of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. The Russian newspapers Rabochaya Krestenskaya Pravda No. 9, Glasnosti No. 9, Bolshevistskaya Pravda No. 6, Patriot No. 34, 33 Molot No. 7 and 9, Concurrent, Sherskaya Chizn, and Komsomolskaya Pravda carried a special write-up illustrating the great leaders Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il and photographs of them standing together. The newspapers spoke highly of the exploits of President Kim Il-sung and leader Kim Jong-il for founding, strengthening and developing the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. They dwelt upon the DPRK, which has been turned into a powerful socialist country with developed industry and nuclear deterrent force under the Sungun-based guidance of leader Kim Jong-il. The Lao newspaper Hangan carried a special write-up illustrated with a photograph of President Kim Il-sung and leader Kim Jong-il standing together. The Brazilian newspaper Hora do Povo also carried a picture of the peerless great men standing together and edited the news of the grand celebrations held in Korea on the occasion of the 60th anniversary of the Republic. The British newspaper Workers Weekly carried an article under the title Congratulations to the DPRK on its 60th anniversary.
A national meeting was held in Taehongdan County in Gangwon Province on September 30th in commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the publication of the great leader Kim Jong-il's famous work on making a revolution in potato farming. Present at the meeting were party and state cadres, senior officials of ministries and other national institutions, officials and working people in the province. Cha Tae-bok, alternate member of the Political Bureau and Secretary of the Central Committee of the Workers' Party of Korea, made a report. The reporter dwelt upon the famous work on making a revolution in potato farming, published by leader Kim Jong-il in October 1987 or 1998. He stressed that in the work, leader Kim Jong-il gave scientific explanations for principled methods of writing and making a revolution in potato farming, and put forward the tests and clear ways for their materialization. Today, Taehongdan County has turned into an excellent model of revolution in potato farming under the guidance of the peerless great man, the reporter stressed.
Officials of ministries and other national institutions and the Jiangong province in the DPRK visited different places of Taehongdan County on September the 30th on the occasion of the 10th anniversary of the publication of the great leader Kim Jong-il's famous work, A Method of Revolution in Potato Farming.
A general music and dance performance was given by artists at the Gangnam Provincial Art Tour at the Gangnam County House of Culture on September the 30th, on the occasion of the 10th anniversary of the publication of the great leader Kim Jong-il's famous work on making a revolution in potato farming. The performance was appreciated by senior officials of the party and state,
ministries and other national institutions, and officials and working people in Dangang province.
The great leader Kim Jong-il sent his favors to narrative scientist Professor and Dr. Sun Ho-in, advisor of Kimco University of Technology, Kim Il-sung Prize winner, People's Doctor and Dr. Kim Dong-sung, Deputy Director for Technical Affairs at the South Kimon Provincial People's Hospital, and People's Athlete Han Chun-hee, coach of the Junior Sports School at Athletics Gymnasium in Songsan Street, Pyongyang, on the occasion of their 70th and 80th birthdays.
Kim Young-nam, President of the Presidium of the Supreme People's Assembly of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, received the credentials from Peter Hughes, Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland to the DPRK at the Monster Assembly Hall in Pyongyang on Tuesday. After receiving his credentials, Kim Young-nam had a talk with the ambassador.
The 11th People's Games will soon be held in Pyongyang and at the parts of the DPRK. The games will be attended by sportspersons of sports teams and selected amateurs from all parts of the country. It will be divided into the games for sports teams and amateurs. The games for sports teams will be divided into summer and winter events in accordance with the characteristics of the events. The summer events are usually held in October. Football and basketball preliminaries have been already finished or are underway. After preliminaries, the finals will be played in Pyongyang in October. After the summer events, winter events will be played in Pyongyang, Samdeon, Busan and other places in November and December. The games for amateurs include more than 10 events, including national games, Sirun or Korean wrestling, Paduk or Go, swimming and seesaw, and football, basketball, volleyball, table tennis, field and track, swimming, speed ice skating, and skiing, which will be played in October and December. Now, the sports technical associations in different regions have finished the selection of players and are getting ready for the games.
The U.S. imperialists and the South Korean puppet army committed aerial acts against the DPRK in September, with the mobilization of strategic and tactical reconnaissance planes of different missions, including RC-135 strategic reconnaissance plane and RC-800 tactical reconnaissance plane. In September, the U.S. imperialists committed aerial espionage acts on more than 110 occasions, and the South Korean puppet army on more than 70 occasions, more than 180 occasions in all.
Civic and public organizations of different cities in South Korea held a meeting in Seoul on September 27th, denouncing traitor Lee Myung-bak for intensifying suppression by public security authorities invoking the national security law. That day, the Party Intelligence Service and police ransacked the offices of the Society for implementing the South North Joint Declaration and its regional organizations and houses of core members of the Solidarity on charge of the violation of the national security law.
The head of the DPRK delegation, Vice Foreign Minister Park Gil-ryun, made a speech at the plenary meeting of the 63rd session of the UN General Assembly on September 27th. Referring to the necessity of denouncing the invasion and interference in the internal affairs of sovereign states, which are conducted under a pretext of the advocacy of human rights, he criticized the United States invading independent states with arms and murdering civilians today without hesitation. He mentioned the issue of the DPRK-Japan relations that remains unsolved for more than half a century until today, and said, "The reason is that Japan has not liquidated its past. Japan is a tiny war criminal state, which is embellishing its history of aggression, in which it occupied Korea and other Asian countries, and killed millions of innocent people, and trade too schemes to grab Dog Island, which is part of the territory of Korea. Such a Japan is not qualified to become a permanent member state of the UN Security Council. We have so far honestly implemented our obligation pursuant to the agreements of the ceasefire talks. But the United States has not fulfilled its obligation and made an artificial obstacle to the implementation of the October 3rd Agreement, raising such unreasonable demands as an inspection of international standards not stipulated in any agreement of the six parties and between the TPLF and the United States. Since the United States has broken the agreement, now we are taking corresponding countermeasures on the principle of simultaneous action. The inter-Korean relations are being deteriorated after the inauguration of a government in South Korea, which negates the June 15th Joint Declaration and the October 4th Declaration. Resolutions were adopted at the past UN General Assembly sessions in support of the historic inter-Korean summit meetings in Pyongyang in 2000 and 2007, and the June 15th Joint Declaration and the October 4th Declaration. It is intolerable that the historic inter-Korean declarations agreed upon and adopted at the top level of the North and South, and unanimously welcomed by the international community, are ignored as the government has changed in South Korea. The government of the TPLF will in the future too make all efforts for lasting peace and stability of the Korean Peninsula.
Vice Foreign Minister Park Gil-yeon, head of the DPRK delegation, made a speech at the meeting of foreign ministers of the Group of 77 held at the headquarters of the United Nations on September 26 during the 63rd session of the UN General Assembly. At the meeting, he expressed that it is the consistent stand of the government of the DPRK to expand and develop South-South cooperation. He noted that in the future too, the government of the DPRK would fulfill its responsibility and duty in establishing a new international economic order based on justice, equality and impartiality, and in further extending and developing the South-South cooperation based on collective self-reliance. And that's the end of the news read by Tom Seul and Kim Chun-ok. This is Voice of Korea.
The Daily Rodong Sinmun of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea on Wednesday carried a commentary titled "A Criminal Pact That Legalized Aggression and War." The commentary reads in gist: it is 55 years after the U.S. imperialists fabricated the South Korea-U.S. Mutual Defense Pact in collision with the CNP puppet fleet under the pretext of security of South Korea. Is an aggressive, revenge, and unequal military pact which legalizes and justifies the perpetual presence of the U.S. imperialist aggressive forces in South Korea and their moves to provoke a war against the DPRK, revenge arbitrariness and all kinds of atrocities, and imposes submission, humiliation, and sufferings upon the South Korean people. The South Korea-U.S. Mutual Defense Pact has no justification to exist in view of the international law, the life, aspirations, and demand of the Korean nation. Therefore, it ought to have been abolished long ago. Even after the Cold War ended and the June 5th reunification era opened, the United States persists in the policy of occupation of South Korea and in the moves of confrontation and war against the DPRK under the pretext of the pact. The reality proves that there is no change in the aggressive scheme of the United States to stifle us with strength. If the United States persists in the anachronistic policy of occupation of South Korea under the pretext of the Mutual Defense Pact, a legacy of the Cold War era, it will face a stronger protest and denunciation of the public at home and abroad and meet a miserable end of destruction. That was the gist of commentary on the title, "A Criminal Pact That Legalized Aggression and War," carried in the Daily Rodong Sinmun on Wednesday. Voice of Korea. President Kim Il-sung's reminiscences of the century. Today we bring you the third installment of Section 2, the last image of Chapter 6, the Year of Trials. After the founding of the anti-Japanese People's Ruler Army, the Southern Mountains, and perhaps that now, even though Mother might have admonished me as to have fulfilled my filial duty, I reflected in anguish. It was not an easy thing to be faithful to one's family and to one's country at the same time. As I approached Tuchijian, my pace became irresistibly faster, but my heart grew heavier with each moment. I felt distracted at the thought that I would be seeing my mother critically ill. In a pool, weeds were swaying in the wind. The area had been called the Wheatfield Village because of its abundance of weeds. But since a few years before, when Kim Beng-il's family at the lower end of the village started making earthenware for sale, this sparsely populated out-of-the-way village had changed beyond recognition and acquired name of Tuchijian, earthenware shop. I crossed a wooden bridge and headed towards the upper end of the village. The sight of the familiar straw-factored house met my eyes. The untrimmed bush clover fence was leaning to one side, and the straw thatch was unkempt, so the house looked deserted. This was my home that had been untended by a male hand for years. No sooner had I pushed open the brushwood gate and entered the yard than the door of the house opened. "Mother," I called, running up to my mother, who sat leaning against the doorpost, smiling. I thought the footsteps sounded familiar, she said, beside herself with joy, as she fingered the scraps of the green set I had put down on the earthen veranda. I had been afraid that she would scold me for coming home. But to my relief, she said nothing to reprove me for coming. Mother and I exchanged compliments for a while. As we talked, I studied her complexion, her voice, and her carriage, trying to discover the state of her health. Outwardly, she had changed little from the previous winter, but she was much weaker than before. Her amber bosom had grown smaller, her neck was thinner, and the hair at the temples was noticeably grayer. I couldn't help feeling sad at the thought that time had left its lamentable marks so early on my mother's appearance. That night, I talked with my mother until after midnight. Our conversation wandered on endlessly. What place had the Japanese army reached? What would be the guerrilla army's course of action in the future? How could we join hands with Mr. Yang Zebong? What was to be done at the guerrilla base? Mother kept leading our conversation to political topics. When mention was made of the family's livelihood or health condition, she would hastily close the subject and shift the conversation to other topics. When I noticed how my mother tried to conceal the state of her health from me, I decided that her illness must be serious. My intuition told me that my mother's days were numbered. This made me shudder, sending chills down my spine. I carved back my tears. The next day, after an early breakfast, I climbed up the mountain with my brother Churchill. I was going to collect firewood. Looking round the house, I had seen only one or two bundles of fuel. I'd feel easier in my mind if I gathered some firewood, if nothing more, now that I was back at home, was my thought. I had wished to collect enough firewood to last a few months, but the circumstances did not allow me to do so. The mountain was not deep, so there are no dead trees. I had to content myself with cutting some shrubs. "Churchill, isn't there something better than this?" I asked. "Let's collect anything that comes our way. If Mother finds out, she'll be angry," my brother answered, hitching up his hemp trousers. Boy, but he was already quite clever. While using his sickle, he was always looking down mercilessly towards the village. But then he was worried that Mother, his brother, would be received into the house to collect firewood unnoticed by her. He was also aware that Mother would be angry if I bothered about trivial household matters. Taking hold of the branches of some shrubs, I worked my sickle swiftly until my hands were raw. Towards sunset, we put the firewood on our eight hands and went down the village. When we rounded a bend from where we could look out over the wheat fields, I saw my mother standing at the edge of the yard.
As I was climbing down the mountain, the stick in my hand, my mind was weighed down by a depressing thought.
I packed my heart breaking to think that I'd be going off on an expeditionary campaign, leaving my seriously ill mother behind.
The way ahead for me looked dark. We had decided we would be back from the campaign in a month or two, but no one could tell what would be my fate and where our unit would be going. I was thinking, what if I continue with the underground struggle for a few years more? Is it not right for me to do so and call at my home once every few months to discuss household affairs and console my mother? Is that not my filial duty to my mother, who has lived in hardship all her life and experienced unusually bitter mental afflictions? If I leave Aunt Mary only short time after my own mother's departure, how will my sick mother be able to bear up, feeling lonely and supportless? Yet, for all that, I surely cannot allow my own family circumstances to prompt me to revoke the plan for the South Manchurian campaign that has been decided upon as the Royal Army's line of action for years. Can I? Why you are worried we may lack firewood here, is that it? Asked my mother gloomily, as she stood by the fence waiting for us. Instead of answering, I looked at her with a smile, wiping the perspiration from my face.
You're behaving strangely.
You didn't behave like this when you were in prison, and I didn't see you do this sort of thing in Shenlongchun. But recently we have become concerned about the housekeeping, she said in a thick voice.
I feel refreshed
when I smell the scent of grass after a long time, I said, and walked into the yard with an innocent look, pretending not to have heard what she said. You've just heard the third installment of Section 2, The Last Image, of Chapter 6, The Year of Trials, from the great leader, President Kim Il-sung's reminiscences to the century. This is the Voice of Korea.
This time we present memoirs of Professor and Dr. Kim Sang-won at the Academy of Social Science in 1893 under the title, Recalling the Days When the Party Was Founded. The 63rd anniversary of the Workers' Party of Korea nearing at hand, I feel deeper reverence for the great leader President Kim Il-sung, who founded our party and led it to victory. President Kim Il-sung led the anti-Japanese revolutionary struggle to victory and liberated Korea on August 15, 1945. The emotion of liberation had a full length. At the time, the hot wind of new life also swept a mountain village in Tungsten County, North Korea province, where I was living. As an 18-year-old man, I was teaching at the primary school. Full of joy of liberation, I made efforts, together with other young people in my village, out of a desire to do something for the building of a new country. Just at the time, I heard the exciting news that the great leader Kim Il-sung had founded the Workers' Party of Korea on October 10, 1945. The news became a beacon of hope, which brightly illumined the road ahead of the young people in my village and gave us great strength and courage. The founding of our party was the precious creation of the great exploits of our president, who put forward an original policy on party founding and made all his efforts for its implementation. President Kim Il-sung put forward a line on building the party, army, and the state, and made great painstaking efforts for its implementation. I understood it more deeply in the course of studying the Chosun philosophy all my life. During the anti-Japanese revolutionary struggle, President Kim Il-sung advanced the Chosun line on party founding on the basis of the immortal Chosun idea, formed the grassroots organizations of the party first, and formally consolidated the next foundation. Basing himself on such experiences, he founded a party even in the difficult and complex situation after liberation, with the anti-Japanese revolutionary fighters and the revolutionaries at home and abroad as backbones, and involving advanced elements of both sections. He did not declare the party's position, but only consolidated the